Happy Advent. A few things. As David said, this is kind of an odd space that we're occupying this morning. It's like somebody on a ship who says, land ho. They see the land. The excitement's already there. They anticipate it's right there, but we haven't landed yet. 3 o'clock this afternoon, according to David. So, happy Advent, almost Merry Christmas. A few things struck me as I was listening to the readings again today. First from Romans, and just tuck these away as I'm speaking to you because they're going to touch on what I have to say. The beginning of Romans, now to God who is able to strengthen you. To God who is able to strengthen you. Who's doing the strengthening? Well, you're not going to fail the quiz here. I mean, according to this, who's doing the strengthening? God, right? Now to God who is able to strengthen you. Man, wake up. And then the gospel, again, now I'm going to save that, saving that piece. So Advent, just to get us kind of off on the right foot, what Advent, you look it up in the dictionary, Advent is a noun. The arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. The fact of an event happening, an invention being made, or a person arriving. Used in a sentence, life was transformed by the advent of the steam engine. So this idea of Advent, this season which we've been living, is the arrival. So really this is kind of an odd thing. We're anticipating the arrival. The Advent is actually kind of what we celebrate tomorrow. It's the arrival of the notable person or event. And so as we have that in mind, kind of this Advent, that life is transformed by this event, this person who we anticipate, as we're thinking about that and our own Christian faith, if we were to summarize our Christian faith in two words, and that may be an exercise you can do at some point on your own, lots of fun, to summarize our faith in two words, at least one coupling of words we might come up with is new life. New life. As you encounter people who may have some questions about Christianity, or you may have them yourself, here are some questions that could be asked about our faith. What does it promise? What does it demand? What does it offer to the world? What does it promise in the next? What does it teach? What does it offer with God? What does it offer with one another? Well, I think you can pretty accurately answer every one of those questions with new life. What does it promise? New life. What does it demand? New life. What does it offer in this world? New life. In the next, new life. What does it teach? New life. What does it offer with God and with one another? New life. New life is, in fact, this Advent. It's God's gift to each one of us as we celebrate Christmas. It's this new life. Well, as we think about that, we also, although we like to escape in the holiday season, if we have one foot in the real, quote-unquote, real world, and we're looking at what's going on, that's all well and good, this thing, new life, but you know, church attendance continues to decline. The review of the hourly headlines, it seems that there are quite a few people, many, maybe most, who find this message of new life difficult to believe. Is it real? The suffering, the outcast, the poor, the oppressed continue to live with us and as us. even 2,000 years after the first proclamation of new life. 2,000 years of a message of new life. I'll admit, there are times when I'm tempted to disbelieve in the power of this new life. I don't know if you're like me, but there are times sitting in the car, standing in front of a mirror, kneeling at an altar rail, wherever it might be, and I think, have I really changed significantly for the better? Have I? After years of church and prayer and Bible study, I think it seems to me anyway that I continue to return to God to heal the same hurts and forgive the same sins year after year after year after year. Where is this new life? If there is indeed new life, why am I rehearsing this same old story? It's kind of like New Year's resolutions. We could also use this for a New Year's sermon. And again, there's been one New Year's resolution I have actually fulfilled in my life. Only one. I resolved some years ago not to make any more. And by thank goodness I've done it. Right? Because it's like every year the same resolutions. Where is this new life? If it's up to me, what did I just say in Romans? If it's up to me to strengthen myself, I've found myself amazingly weak. But glory to God who is able to strengthen us. The theologian Martin Luther says that the old man, this old sinful self, the old Adam, whatever verbiage we want to use, this old person dies hard. It's hard to put this old man down. The world, yes, it is still filled with greed and hatred and sin, and we see it. And you and I often still struggle with the same hurts and the same temptations which have plagued us for years. So as we look towards tomorrow, the celebration, the advent of this transcendent thing, we can be tempted to say, really? But let me tell you, this new life has appeared. The Savior has come and His Spirit is at work in the world. Let us consider for a moment, what if the 12 apostles hadn't dropped everything that they were doing to go out and proclaim the good news? What if they didn't buy it to tell the world about new life? Think throughout the last 2,000 years and beyond, the art, the literature, the music, those people who have in fact been the love of God in our lives, the new life that's wrapped up in each and every aspect of that. What of Mother Teresa, Saint Francis, others who have dedicated their life for the betterment and the good of the world? The old story, friends, is there. But the new story continues to unfold and is at work. Just often not in the timing that we would like. Just like when we were children. And we knew Thanksgiving's over, it ought to be Christmas tomorrow. And yet we have to wait. And we wait, and we wait. Our despair can be a temptation to allow a piece of the truth, the things that we experience of the old self and the things that we see. Our despair can be a temptation to allow a piece of the truth, which is that old man, to masquerade as the entire truth, which is the promise of God in Jesus Christ, that He is the one able to strengthen us. The truth is that our world would be a very different place if Christ had not come to give us new life. Things have, are, and will continue to change. The anticipation of the Advent, the promise of Christmas, it's not an instant fix. It's new life. And life is a journey. It's life in the midst of struggle. We know that all too well. But it is God working with us toward maturity in Him rather than some automated assembly line in which there's no struggle or participation. Just as we see children grow up through learning to crawl and then learning to walk, learning how to talk, whatever it may be, different milestones, it's not an automated process. It's trial and error. We do it at different paces. Maybe some can't do it at all, and there are other challenges, but they are able to do other things. This new life is a journey. But as we look forward to tomorrow, or this most holy night, tomorrow's dawn will bring familiar scenes of the broken world. It will bring the familiar scenes and struggles that we have. I had too much eggnog, whatever it might be. But in the midst, look towards the light. Remember the promise of God, the God who is able to strengthen you, that God is for you and God is with you, which is what we have heard in these prophetic scriptures, our Emmanuel, God with us. The advent of Christ continues and will continue to transform the world. The one who has promised is faithful. It's even working in your life when you might least suspect it. Merry Christmas.